It occurred to me that it was 18 years to the day since I was licensed, instituted and installed as vicar of this parish. 18 years. And then we heard the news of the Queen's passing. And she served 70 years. That's 10 years before I was even born. Sometimes 18 years or 28 years since I've been ordained, you know, you can seem a long time, and I guess we're all the same. We can look forward to retirement, can't we? But the Queen kept going. She kept serving until, what was it, 2 days before she died? And that's a model for Christian service, isn't it? Because we never retire from our Christian service. We keep serving until the day we die, and then we go to glory and serve the Lord Jesus there. At my service of installation here at St. Peter, some of you may remember, I was presented with symbols of ministry, as every vicar is. And I was reminded of this at the institution of Judith Hamill at St. James this last week. So I was given the keys to the building, a jug of water for baptism, a prayer book to lead God's people in prayer and worship, bread and wine for the Lord's Supper, and of course, a Bible to proclaim God's word. And it reminded me, as I thought back over the coronation service this week, how actually the two services are very similar in many ways. The Queen is presented with a number of items, each with Christian significance. Spurs and a sword symbolize justice, bracelets of sincerity and wisdom, a robe of knowledge and wisdom, an orb under a cross to signify and remind her that the world belongs to God, a ring of dignity and the seal of the Christian faith, a rod of equity and mercy, the royal scepter of power and justice, and of course, the crown. The crown, actually, of faithfulness, the service says. But you know, before any of these were given, she was asked, and indeed King Charles will be asked in due course, will you, to the utmost of your power, maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel? Will you, to the utmost of your power, maintain in the United Kingdom the Protestant Reformed religion established by law? And Her Majesty replied, all this I promise to do. And then, more important than any of the splendid golden bejeweled items, she was given something far more valuable. In fact, this she was given before any of those things. And that was, of course, a Bible. Our gracious Queen, to keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole of life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing the world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. And so our sovereign lady, queen of this realm and defender of Christ's religion, began her reign. And for 70 years, she remained as faithful as any human could possibly have done, surely, to the promises she made that day. And it seems, doesn't it, appropriate to hear those words of the Apostle Paul, because surely they could be applied to Her Majesty, couldn't they? She fought the good fight. She finished the race. She kept the faith. Now there is in store for her the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to her on that day. That day being the coming of the Lord Jesus. But how can we be so confident that she will be welcomed by the Lord, the righteous judge of all? What can possibly give us such certainty? Now, I guess as people reflect on the life of the Queen and hear all those rightly glowing tributes to her, they will think, here is someone who, more than most, deserves to be welcomed into heaven. It's certainly what Elton John was thinking at his concert this week when he said, I'm glad she's at peace, and I'm glad she's at rest, and she deserves it. She worked, expletive, hard. And J.K. Rowling agreed, saying, she has earned her rest. But there's a problem there, isn't there? You see, if we have to earn our eternal peace and rest through hard work, then there can be no certainty at all, for who knows how much is enough? Who knows how good we have to be, how hard we have to work, how long we have to persevere to earn the right to our peace and rest? After Jesus had fed 5,000 people with one boy's picnic, the crowds follow him wanting more food. And Jesus says to them, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Here are a crowd of people literally chasing after food. Free food, but food that spoils, bread that goes moldy, or sustains this life until it's time for the next meal. They were spending their whole lives chasing after something that simply wouldn't last. But how many of us do the same? We live to earn enough to pay the mortgage, to feed the kids, to pay the gas bill, to buy the train ticket that takes us to work, to earn the money to pay the mortgage. It's the treadmill of life, isn't it, that so many of us feel we're on? The hamster wheel that we run on day in, day out, never able to free ourselves from it. And of course, we make matters worse for ourselves because we think that if only we had more of these things that we chase after, life would be better. And all we do is we make the treadmill go faster, and the hamster wheel go faster, and we shut ourselves into that hamster wheel. There is no escape for us. And so, hearing Jesus mention eternal life, a life that perhaps is free from this daily treadmill, the people ask Jesus, what must we do the work that God requires? What does God want us to do to earn the right to rest in peace? Their assumption, like Elton John's and J.K. Rowling's, is that God wants us to do more, to do better, to earn our rest. But Jesus says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Not earn, not deserve, but believe, trust, accept, rely on the one he has sent. Believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But of course, the crowds there in front of Jesus, they didn't understand or perhaps weren't convinced about him. Because after all, they've always believed that good people go to heaven, that they had to do good things to earn their place in heaven. That is their fixed mindset and belief. They simply can't see it any other way. And perhaps you're the same. And so they demand that Jesus give them proof of this new thinking. What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread to eat. These people have just seen Jesus. Feed 5,000 people for one boy's packed lunch. And they demand proof. They demand a sign. Come on, Jesus, do something like Moses, who gave the people bread from heaven when they were starving in the desert. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people want this bread. From now on, give us this bread, they say. Give us this bread from God that brings life, and perhaps we won't have to work like we do now. But they haven't really heard what Jesus is saying, have they? Jesus said, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. Do you see what Jesus is saying? It is not what you do that brings eternal life. It is not what you do that brings you eternal life, but who I am, says Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, for the crowds around Jesus, loaves of bread, physical bread, meant life. Bread was the staple food. They did not have Tesco's and Sainsbury's loaded with aisle upon aisle upon aisle of breads and all sorts of worldwide foods. No, for them it was bread for breakfast, bread for lunch, bread for supper, maybe with a few other little bits and pieces, but basically that was what kept them alive. And so the ordinary person worked for bread. Without it they starved, with it they lived. But Jesus says, I am the bread you don't have to work for. I am the bread that brings real life, eternal life. Receive me, trust me, believe me, I will feed you and you will live forever. And you will have life in this world to the full, a life that is not bound by the treadmill. Her Majesty the Queen knew that none of us, not even herself, could do enough to earn eternal rest and peace. Listen to her words from 2011 Christmas speech. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a savior with the power to forgive. That is the person we need, because no one is perfect. No one, not even the Queen. Not even 70 years of service is enough to earn our right to our place in heaven. No one can earn life. No one deserves life, not even the Queen. You see, what did you do to gain your birth into this world? What did you do for Mum and Dad so that they had you born? You did nothing. So there is nothing you can do to merit eternal life, except to come to Jesus, who gives you new life. To come to him in humility, admitting that you need saving from yourself, from your recklessness and your greed. And you need to entrust yourself to him, to his forgiving mercy. The death of a loved one who has received Christ is always a time of mixed emotions. On the one hand, yes, we grieve, we mourn their loss, we miss them deeply. But as Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, we do not grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. No, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we will be with the Lord forever. As Her Majesty said in her first Easter address in 2020, the discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose, and we can all take heart from this. Well, I think that's a bit of an understatement. We can do more than merely take heart. We can enter into the fullness of our hope and our expectation of life in this world, walking with Jesus and continuing to walk with him and be with him even more closely after our death in the glory of heaven. Let's turn to him in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, we thank you once again for the Queen's magnificent example of lifelong service and good works. But of course, far more than that, we praise you for feeding her with the true and living bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that she is now safe with him for all eternity. And Father, we thank you that you invite each one of us to receive that same living and life-giving bread, to come to Jesus, to feed on him in our souls, to believe in him, to trust him and receive life, life to the full. And so, Father, for any here this morning who are struggling to believe, I pray that the power of your Spirit would convict their hearts and bring them the gift of faith. And for those who do believe in Jesus and know the hope that he alone can bring, free us to follow his example in selfless love and service every day until you call us home to be at your side. We pray this in the name of the one who raises the dead, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.